gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. It is written, and the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beast of the field. It is written, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. David put forth his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, and took his sword, and drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I dare not be defeated, since Christ, my conquering king, has called me to the battle and given a song to sing. Come, Lord, and give me courage. Thy conquering spirit give. Make me an overcomer. In power within me live. I dare not be defeated. Just at the set of sun, when Jesus waits to whisper, well done, well done, well done. Come, Lord, hear from the glory. On me thy spirit cast. Make me an overcomer, a victor to the last. Fight the good fight of the faith. Lay hold on the life eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to the story again of David and Goliath. I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. So said Goliath of Gath. This was the challenge. If I kill him, we win. If he kills me, you win. Let the whole affair hang in the balance. Goliath of Gath was the heavyweight champion. No one had ever stood up to him before until David came. In a similar way, Goliath, devil, had stood up before the human race and issued the challenge. Give me a man that we may fight together. He had thrown down the gauntlet, and many worthy challengers had met him in battle. Adam, the great federal head of the human race, clad in the robes of immortality, had been vanquished as well as such worthies as Noah, the hero of the flood, Abraham, the father of the faithful, Moses, the great lawgiver. It appears that Goliath, devil, can sock every jock, chill every Jill, cope with every dope, sack every jack, zap every sap, kick every chick, and damn every dummy. Give me a man, that we may fight together. No one could stand up to Goliath until David came, and no one could stand up to Goliath, devil, until the son of David came. Now David had been sent by his father to take provisions to his older brothers at the battle. and he heard the challenge. He was amazed that the challenge went unanswered. His disdain of the giant was expressed in his statement, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" David did not seek the honor of killing Goliath. He had no particular call. It was a job that needed to be done. If Saul won't do it, I will. If Jonathan won't do it, I will. If my brothers won't do it, I will. If the preacher won't do it, I will. If the elders won't do it, I will. If the deacons won't do it, I will. If nobody else will do it, I will. The job needs to be done by somebody, and I will be that somebody if it comes to that. Now David was well aware of the enemy that he would fight. He knew he was 6 cubits and a span. Estimates of over 9 feet and more than that have been made. He knew that Goliath was a walking arsenal. He was aware of the helmet of brass on his head. He was aware of the coat of mail that weighed 5,000 shekels of brass. He knew he had sheaves of brass on his legs. He knew he had a target of brass between his shoulders. One estimate indicates that the entire suit of armor must have weighed around 125 pounds. The head of the spear around 15 pounds. David knew all this, not to mention his sword and shield. David knew that Goliath was covered from one end to the other with brass. That is why Goliath could make the challenge. That is why he could defy Almighty God. He had brass. The only weak spot, however, he had was in his head. Those who defy the word of God today have one weak spot, too. It's in their head. And now, as we note how David defeated Goliath, it is easy to see the similarities between David and the son of David in the New Testament. For one thing, they were both anointed. The prophet Samuel went to Bethlehem to anoint the next king of Israel. 7 sons of Jesse passed before him. The first was Eliab, and Samuel looked at him and said, "He looks like a king to me." The Lord says, "He does not look like a king to me." Then Aminadab appeared before Samuel, and Samuel thought he looked like a king too. Again, God refused him. Then Shammah appeared, and God rejected him. There were 3 more sons that came by. All 6 of them were ruled out. Finally, David, the last one, was brought in. This time, God said, "Arise, anoint him. Pour the oil on him. He looks like a king to me." Some of them looked like good king material, but the Lord said he looked on the heart and not on the outward appearance. Now, Jesus also was anointed. And like David, he did not look the part either. He did not look like a king at his birth. The wise men tried to find him, the king, by going, of all places, to Jerusalem. That's where the king ought to be. But the king was born at Bethlehem, a village. At the crucifixion, the soldiers put a crown of thorns on his head and gave him a purple robe and kneeled down before him in derision. "Hail, King of the Jews!" Pilate put a title on the cross. "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." His kingship was ridiculed. He didn't look the part. But God saw it otherwise. In the 1st chapter of Hebrews, God said, "Therefore, the Lord thy God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." The name of Christ means the Anointed One. And ladies and gentlemen, as followers of Christ, when we call ourselves by the name Christian, we wear a name that signifies our kinship with the Anointed One. But as in the case of David and the Lord Jesus, the name Christian doesn't look good enough for most religious people. One time a man asked me what kind of work I did. I told him I was a preacher. He said, "What kind are you?" I said, "I am a Christian." He said, I know that, but what kind are you? I said, I'm no kind. I'm just a Christian. He said, you can't do that. I said, well, I've been doing it for over 40 years. Why is it that most believers in Jesus insist on wearing a name other than the name of the Anointed One? A denominational name, no matter how much revered, either Protestant or Catholic, does not honor the Anointed One. Why cannot we be satisfied with the name Christian, and the Christian only that glorifies the Anointed One? Then again, David and Jesus were alike also in the fact that they both were rejected. When David visited his brothers at the battle site, they rebuked him and tried to get him to go home. Jesus, in a similar manner, was rejected by his brothers. John says, even his brothers did not believe on him. And then again, he came unto his own, and they that were his own received him not. It is evident that even unto this day, those who descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are the most difficult of all people to convert to Christ. The greatest battle David had was the rejection of his brothers. For Jesus, his greatest rejection was the almost unbelievable rejection among those he personally called to be his apostles. One of them, anyway, who became known as the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot. It is difficult to understand how Judas could see Jesus, walk on the water, give sight to a man born blind, feed thousands from practically nothing, speak to the wind and the waves of the sea, and by a word cause a great calm, raise the rotting corpse of a dead man, and then sell out for less than $20. Think of what this man gave up. He was a man who had the opportunity to have his name inscribed on one of the 12 foundations of the holy city and sold out for less than $20. His rejection, with all his opportunities, is a constant reminder to the Christian of the words of Paul when he said, let every man take heed unto himself who thinketh he standeth, lest he fall. If it happened to Judas, it could happen to anybody. Now, another reason David and Jesus were alike was because they did not use conventional weapons. David used a sling. He wouldn't use the armor of King Saul because he had not proved them. Jesus, in a similar way, did not use conventional weapons to defeat Goliath's devil. When Jesus first told the apostles that he must go up to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed the third day and be raised up, Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall never be unto thee. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan, for thou mindest not the things of God, but the things of men. Peter's message to Jesus was, there must be some other way to lead men to salvation other than by the way of the cross. The devil still uses this thought of men today. Talk about the blood of Christ, and their eyes glaze over as though you must be a weirdo. The devil used that argument right up to the time of the crucifixion, when the chief priest taunted him, come down from the cross, and we will believe on thee. At the feeding of the 5,000, the devil used it again when the multitudes wanted to take him by force and make him king. The temptation was there again, bypass the cross, and win the world with the bread of social gospel. If so, he desired, thousands would have followed him with the drawn sword. Jesus did not come to merely reform the world and make the world a better place to live. He came to redeem the world and prepare us for eternity. Again, the devil used the apostle Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter drew his sword and cut off the ear of Malchus. Peter thought the sword is a better weapon than the cross. Jesus preferred to use the cross as a battering ram to knock down the gates of hell. It is true Jesus used the weapon of the sword, but it was a sword of the Spirit. Over and over again, the Lord used that weapon when tempted of the devil to try another way. It is written. It is written. It is written. What an example the Lord is to us. He used the sword of the Spirit to fight Goliath's devil, while many of us use the toys of gospel entertainment. These toys provide relaxation, but it takes what Paul called the weapons of our warfare that are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. This is the only weapon, the word of God and prayer, that will bring down the citadels of the devil's strongholds. David had confidence in his sling, even as the Lord had confidence in the word of God. Hear David as he tells Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield. I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give thy carcass to the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." David did not have any doubts about his weapon. The word of God is a great weapon for the Christian, but it takes many hours of reading through the Old and New Testaments to have the accuracy with a slingshot of God's word to effectively fight the battle with Goliath's devil. When David slew Goliath, he picked out 5 smooth stones out of the brook. In the book of Judges, there is a statement about 700 men who were left-handed who could sling a stone at a hairbreadth and not miss. David must have had this same skill. When he slung that stone at Goliath, that was not the first stone he had ever slung. Hours of practice while keeping the sheep had made him a deadly marksman. 1/10, ladies and gentlemen, of the time we spend looking at television applied to the Word of God would give us a necessary accuracy in using this slingshot of God, the Word of God. David was supremely confident. We ought to have the same confidence today in the Word of God. It is the only weapon that can defeat Goliath devil. The Philistines would never have dreamed of such a simple weapon as a sling to defeat their champion. Paul tells us that the world, through its wisdom, knew not God. But it pleased God, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. The world, through its wisdom, could never figure out the combination of the locks of the pearly gates, nor could they ever decipher the formula of the plan of salvation. Peter says that even the angels desired to look into it and could not understand it. They could not understand how God would save the world. Jesus also used another unconventional weapon. In Hebrews chapter 2, when Paul tells us, "Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also partook of the same, that through death he might set at naught him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through their lifetime were subject unto bondage." The devil had trusted in this weapon of death. He had slain the entire human race with it, and now Jesus will slay him with his own sword, the weapon of death. He tasted of death once for every man. Through his blood and brains there crept the chill and the shadow of the death that we all must face. The gospel is not only our weapon. It is the only weapon that can bring victory. When David knocked Goliath in the head, he ran and took Goliath's sword and cut off his head. After the battle, General Abner brought David to see King Saul. David came into the king's presence, carrying the grisly, bloody head of Goliath in his hand as a trophy of victory. This reminds us of Jesus and his trophies of victory when he defeated Goliath's devil. Paul tells us in Colossians, "Having been buried with him in baptism, raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. You did he make alive, having forgiven us all our trespasses. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." David held up the bloody head of Goliath as a trophy, and Jesus openly makes a show of the defeat of Goliath Devil in the preaching of the everlasting gospel. Again, David and Jesus were alike in that they wounded their separate Goliaths in the same place. David did not smite Goliath in the feet or in the hand or in the side. It was a head wound that brought him down. Jesus smote Goliath Devil in the head also. The first prophecy about the coming of Jesus into the world was in regards to the seed of the woman bruising the head of the serpent. Jesus smashed his head, the seat of his intelligence. It was at the cross and the empty tomb that Jesus put the serpent under his foot and bruised and smashed his head. Paul told the Roman Church of Christ one time that the Lord would bruise Satan under their feet shortly. That principle is true of every person who accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Put your foot on the devil's neck, and by your obedience to the terms of pardon given by the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost, you can put your foot on the devil's neck. Make the question of the 3,000 they ask on that day your question. Men and brethren, what must we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent ye, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, let the words and the wishes of the Lord Jesus Christ move you to that decision, as you remember how the Lord himself said, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Again, he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. To Timothy Paul said, Continue in these things, and thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. When a person is obedient to the Lord and is faithful in the Christian life, continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and the prayers, he can defy all the demons of hell. When David slew Goliath, it was not only a personal victory for him, it was a victory for every soldier in the army of Israel. It was a victory for every boy and for every girl and every man and every woman. It was a national victory. The men of Israel arose and pursued the Philistines and came to the valley, even to the gates of Ekron. It was a personal victory when David slew Goliath, and when the son of David, Jesus the Son of God, defeated Goliath Devil. It was not only a personal victory for him, it was a personal victory for me. It was my victory. And when Jesus defeated Goliath Devil, it can be your personal victory. It is a victory over sin, a victory over death, a victory over the grave, and a victory over hellfire. There is victory in Jesus. The battle is not yours, but the Lord's. Of course, we all have our little Goliaths that we must fight day by day. There is the Goliath of lust, the Goliath of envy, the Goliath of jealousy, the Goliath of fear, the Goliath of drugs, the Goliath of the bottle, the Goliath of immorality, the Goliath of covetousness. All of these Goliaths have been defeated for those who are in Christ. Remember, Paul said, As many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. I dare not be defeated, since Christ, my conquering King, has called me to the battle and given a song to sing. Come, Lord, and give me courage. Thy conquering spirit give. Make me an overcomer in power within me live. I dare not be defeated just at the set of sun, when Jesus waits to whisper, Well done, well done, well done. Come, Lord, hear from the glory. On me thy spirit cast. Make me an overcomer, a victor to the last. fight the good fight of the faith, lay hold on the life eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, you've heard another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The God is Just a Prayer Away broadcast address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. The Lord Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Until next week at the same time, don't forget, tell someone, somehow and in some way, that as far as the Christian is concerned, God is just a prayer away.
Oh, God is just a prayer away.